We'll ask you to have that song ready for the conclusion of the lesson. We count it a great joy to be able to stand before the congregation here. We are glad to see those of like precious faith that we've seen from years gone by, and also those which we look forward to meeting and to knowing and to getting to know. We welcome you to the services of the church, and we appreciate so much the privilege of being able to offer up to Almighty God songs of praise. We appreciate those songs selected this morning, and the prayer and the scripture reading. And we're just thankful to be with those of like precious faith. This morning we want to talk about, and we've simply entitled this Seven on Hearing. Now, I have to warn you up front, there's more than seven verses that we'll talk about. Just a quick background. We call it Seven on Hearing. We work with some of the younger folks in our congregation, ages, actually we started when they were six, but 6 through 14, and we teach them scriptures in groups of seven. And so we try to get main themes, and so they memorize those verses, and they've learned verses, seven on the church, seven on trust, seven on why we worship, the ways to worship, all kinds of things. And so it's been very rewarding to see them not only learn what it says and memorize it, but understand and explain it and go through the explanations of the verses with them. So when we talk about Seven on Hearing, I think it's safe to say we want to talk about one of the most basic things of life that we learn to do. We want to talk about it from the standpoint that it will be one of the most important skills that any of us can gain in growing to maturity. It's one of the most important things that we want from a young baby the size of Colt. A young child, a few months old. And I have a granddaughter that was born so in April, so she's 6 months old. So it's amazing to watch how they listen, because sometimes they listen so better than the big kids. Every little sound that they hear, it has a newness to them, a preciousness to them, a value to them. And folks, as we grow spiritually, may we never ever miss, even as was mentioned in the scripture reading, the opportunities we have to hear and to learn from that hearing. Now, when we talk about hearing, I think it's massive that we ask ourselves, why is it so important? And it's quite simply because our lives depend on it. We've all been around young children that are playing near a street. And somehow when we played, whether we were the one as a young child or whether it's somebody else's children, we know that playing can be so much fun. We forget about cars. Kids forget about the danger. And somehow their hearing is distracted. So many times, spiritually, that's the issue. That's the challenge that we can run into. We look at many, many opportunities to hear. But sometimes I think we forget as individuals that hearing is so important, because not only do our lives depend on it, but our souls depend on it. Not only do our souls depend on it, but the future generation depends on it. Not only does the future generation depend on it, but the future of God's kingdom, the church, will depend on how you hear and how I hear. Not only on a weekly basis on the Lord's Day, but every day of our lives. I want to notice a few things that the wise man Solomon said and others about that hearing principle. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible says, a wise man will hear and increase learning. Hearing has a purpose in our lives, folks. Every day, everything we are involved in, hearing has a person. And the wise man would call it out as the opportunity to increase in learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. It's not just the hearing, it's the implementation, the practical application that hearing facilitates. Hearing is so important that we hear the Apostle Paul, as he writes to the church at Rome, and he simply says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then our other scripture reading, James chapter 1, verse 19. Very, very significant. As James writes here, he simply says it like this. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, those that I love dearly, let every man be swift to hear and slow to wrath and slow to anger. Now, we live in a society today where technology has afforded us some wonderful, wonderful privileges. When we want to talk to somebody, we don't even have to say a word. We don't have to talk. And we forget about the side effects sometimes of too much of that. And I'm all for communicating all over the world with all different people and all those kinds of things. But sometimes when people send you a text, you don't have to listen. And we practice not listening. We get a text and we say, oh, that's so-and-so. We don't even read it. People can go all day long with email, text, and all of those kinds of things and not hear what's being said. And that's a very important principle to remember as we utilize the technologies to make sure we're hearing and we're honing our hearing in with the principles that God is giving us in the scriptures. When James said, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, slow to wrath. He said that after verse 18 of James chapter 1, in which he said, of his own will begot he us. He gave birth to us with the word of truth, that we should be a new kind of first creatures, first fruits of his creatures. The principle is that God expects us to hear because the sacrifice of Christ that we are born into his kingdom by is based on how we hear, folks. How we hear. I want you to think about it for just a moment. Hearing was so important that not only did the Lord set the example of hearing and listening to everything that his Father gave him as instructions, but his family had to hear. In Galatians 1:19, Galatians 2 verse 9, we hear as the apostles' brothers heard the word and received it and obeyed it. When we look and we think about the big picture here, we see Jesus chose 12 individuals. And he taught them, he selected them for a very, very significant purpose, and that is to proclaim the ordinances and laws of the kingdom. Folks, that's our responsibility today. Every individual has a responsibility to proclaim the ordinances and laws of the kingdom of Christ. But that requires one thing. We just don't do well what we don't know. We have to study. And studying becomes harder and harder again with the utilization of the technology, because if we need to know something, we just Google it. But Googling things is a little different than taking them and applying them into our everyday lives. And so when we talk about hearing the Word of God, I want to emphasize just some of the verses that talk about that hearing. Now, when we talk about hearing, I probably need to give just a little bit more background through the definition of what we're talking about. In the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, there are a number of statements about hearing and what hearing does for us. And when we look, we see that that word hearing not only means to hear, but it includes the thought of intelligent, skillful, artful, cunning, and wise hearing. It involves the use of terms that, when we look at them, we see that that Hebrew word here conveys the understanding, the hearkening, the obeying, the diligentness that God has given for us to carry out His word with. Think about it like this. The word here is used 785 times. That's more than just a passing moment of hearing. When he talks about hearing intelligently, he's talking about attentively. He's talking about with the sense of carefulness. And we use that term. We say, listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. We use that term even today. When we talk about hearing, I think it's massive that we understand how special hearing was to Almighty God. As we look to the Word of God, we see in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5, as we said, a wise person hears and increases in knowledge. We notice that hearing is related to the instruction of the father and the mother. And as a child, we understand so clearly, just as the young child in our midst is learning from mother and father, we are to learn from our Father, which is in heaven. Sometimes we undervalue the blessing of hearing. We undervalue even the picture the Scripture sometimes gives us about hearing from the standpoint that we miss some of the key thoughts. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13, the Bible uses the phrase of wisdom and understanding. And you know, that's a part of hearing intelligently. As a matter of fact, in Proverbs 3 verse 13, the proverbial writer would write and he would say, happy is the person that findeth wisdom and that getteth understanding. How do we find wisdom? We have to learn. Wisdom is based on knowledge. Knowledge is based on hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Are you happy today that you can hear the word of God? That the word of God is available to us to hear and to gain wisdom and to find it and apply it into our lives? In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7, he goes on and he tells us why we need to be happy about the wisdom and the understanding that the Word of God gives us. He tells us in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7 that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, in all thy getting, get wisdom and get understanding. Why is it so important? Because hearing can strengthen us spiritually. How significant is hearing, the obtaining of wisdom and understanding to Almighty God? In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 19, the Bible records it like this. It simply says that the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, and understanding by that He has established the heavens. I don't know about you, but that's just a mind-boggling thought to me. That Almighty God, who spoke the world into existence, utilized the tools of not only wisdom, but wisdom and understanding, the intelligent tools that he would pass on and make available for us to learn about him, to form the earth, to establish it, and to found it in the heavens. I think it's no accident, and we have no reason not to go after the wisdom of Almighty God. When we look quickly, we see a few more passages about hearing and how that works for us. In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest." There's something that we can accomplish through doing that. "That thou mayest be wise in the latter end." Wisdom nowadays, just like any other time, any other generation, has been based on the principle of how people hear. We use it to further technology by listening carefully to the things, the instructions that we're building on as building blocks. But think of it in the spiritual sense. Hearing is what helps the foundation and building blocks of a congregation to grow stronger, to be able to do more, to be able to convey the truth. When he talks about counsel in Proverbs 19, verse 20, the original Hebrew conveys the fact that it's an advice, it's a plan, it's prudence. And yet it's one that is only implemented through humility. It's one that is accessible through being humble. As a matter of fact, a component part of that Hebrew word is to admit. You have to admit you don't know everything. You want to hear. And you have a willingness to hear and be better off. It also conveys the thought of taking what you've heard for your benefit spiritually. The proverbial writer had much to say about that hearing. Listen at him in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 17. Hearing always requires effort on our part. In order to benefit from its rewards, we have to hear and listen intelligently. And so the proverbial writer would simply say, "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. Apply thine heart unto my knowledge." I want you to think about that for a moment. We again, in our day and time, in our present day and time, we utilize some of these techniques. Somebody's talking to us, and what do? We kind of have to lean over and put our ear closer to them, so we can hear them better sometimes. Why? Because the wisdom, the words, apply to our lives enough that we want to hear them accurately so we can carry out or help carry out whatever the function is that we're being summoned to do. When you talk about bowing down the ear, it literally means to stretch or to spread out, to bend away in a way so that we could hear better. And when we bend our ear and we hear the words of the wise, we hear those intelligent, skillful, artful words, what does it do? Folks, don't miss it. When we apply it to our heart, the heart above the collar, when we apply it to our heart, the result, the proverbial writer would tell us, is that we can be wise and we can guide our hearts. Proverbs 19, verse 27. We hear that instruction. Proverbs 23, verse 19. We hear that instruction and we can, through the wisdom of God and the word of God, ourselves follow after the wise counsel. As we move forward, we see in the New Testament that hearing was critical. It was critical. And you would think that just from those kinds of things that it's always appropriate to hear, isn't it? No, it's not. We're told when to hear or what to hear, and as we heard in the scripture reading, how to hear. And in the New Testament, especially in our day and time that we're governed by, we see that hearing is a very specialized skill set. As we look to it, we see in Proverbs 19, verse 27, as we just mentioned, the proverbial writer there says, what not to hear. Cease, my son, from hearing the instruction that causes to err or to err from the words of knowledge. Now that word err has an interesting meaning because it simply means to sin. And folks, if we're listening to the wrong parties, if we're listening to the wrong counsel, it will cause us to sin. And that's the point God makes. In some translations, it simply renders it like this. Stop listening to instructions, my son, and you will stray from the wickedness of the knowledge of the world. Sometimes we get so into listening to everything that's going on around about us in the culture that we miss the precious, valuable truths of hearing the Word of God. How valuable was it? In Matthew 11:15, as we've said and as we have up here, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In Mark 4:23, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. In Mark 4:24, and he said unto them, take heed what ye hear, with what measure ye meet. It shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall be, and I don't want us to miss this, more given. What would you like? More knowledge, more wisdom, more understanding, or less? It's dependent on the way we hear. That's what Jesus said. That's not something Art came up with. That's what Jesus said, folks. He also used a little term with what measure you meet or with what measure you utilize here. In the way you hear, how much energy you put into your hearing will determine whether you have more wisdom and understanding or less. And that's a key phrase that he uses. In Matthew 11:15, the expression not only was frequently used by Christ, but it's used over and over throughout his teachings about hearing as so important. With the 12 apostles, he provided authority for them to declare the good news, the laws, and the operation of the kingdom of God in Christ. And he tells us how to obey the Father on earth. The basic principle was God expects us to use the faculties of hearing in order not only to receive his son, but to receive the message and the example of his son. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, the Bible simply says it like this, that Jesus left us an example that we should follow in his steps. Neither did he sin, nor was guile found in his mouth, who when he was rebuked, he rebuked not again, but committed to him which judges righteously. So many times we hear, swift to hear, and then swift to get angry. Instead of hearing and allowing God to intervene and to handle the matter, I tell people all the time, if there's something I think I can deal with or I can handle because I get angry, I just got to think of how well I handle it in comparison to God. And I never win that one. I never could handle it as good as God, despite how mad I think I am. That's the point, folks. Hearing is the key. God expects us to use the eyes we have for his work, to use the ears we have for his message, to use the mind we have for his truth, and the hands and feet we have for his work and his wishes. What are we doing for the Lord today? This week that passed. How did we hear what God had for us to do here? When we look carefully at the warning of Matthew 11:15, it is one that a man with ears, or a human being with ears, can fail to hear. Folks, having these doesn't assure hearing. That's the very clear message from God. What we have to recognize is it was so important that Jesus would repeat over and over the challenge to hear. But what about those that wouldn't hear? Jesus would cite examples of folks that didn't hear just so we could see the seriousness in his desire to teach people the will of God so we could be in heaven someday with him. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 11, listen to how he said it. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. He's instructing the apostles to go out, or the disciples to go out, to preach the gospel. And what was their charge? Tell people. If they don't want to hear, shake the dust off your feet. Listen at the way he concludes that verse. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and for Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Folks, you don't have to read very far in the Bible to find out Sodom and Gomorrah were cities that did not listen to God. They were not set on pleasing God. And the Bible history conveys that those were cities of approximately 500,000 people. And it rained fire and brimstone on them and destroyed them because they would not hear. In Matthew 12, verse 42, the wisdom of Solomon that we showed those verses about, we see the opposite example. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth. To do what? To hear the wisdom of Solomon. Folks, there were great philosophers of that day. There were great, if you will, Greek theologians of that day, of the Greek laws. But here was the wisdom of Solomon, which surpassed them all. And yet it was so important to the queen of the south that she would travel thousands of miles with gifts and caravans to bring gifts to Solomon so she could sit and hear the wisdom of Solomon. But don't miss it, folks. It wasn't the wisdom of Solomon only. It was the wisdom of God. And the Bible goes on in that verse and says, a greater than Solomon is here. What does that mean to us? Folks, we have Solomon's example. We can hear, we can learn those things from what Solomon said. But there's a greater than Solomon that we can listen to. How are we hearing today? How are we hearing the greatest one that ever existed, leaving us his word and his instruction? We want to move on very quickly. The hearing was so significant that not only would Jesus say, take heed how you hear, take heed what you hear, on and on, as we heard in the reading in the book of Luke. But the Bible tells us that that hearing was so important that Jesus gives us a real-life example of the seven churches of Asia Minor. He uses a phrase that simply states, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." In Revelation 2:7, he says it. In Revelation 2:11, he says it. The invitation here is to hear what God's revelations are to humankind, to learn them, and to benefit from them. What part of our daily regimen have we dedicated to hearing the revelation of God? The revelation of God. In verse 7, the promise is to him that does that, they'll be able to overcome, and they'll be able to eat of the tree of life. The promise is there. Every one of the seven churches of Asia Minor were told, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith." When we look in Revelation 2:29, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith." Revelation 3:6, Revelation 3:13, Revelation 3:22, every single congregation was told how important it was to hear. I hope we see that it meant something to Jesus. And it meant something to the early church. And so the question has to be asked, what will our hearing, or lack thereof, cause us to lose? Because when you don't hear, you miss out on something. Whether you're a child and you step out in front of that car that's coming because you don't hear it, there's a price. There's a cost. And so, in Revelation 2, verse 7, it says we give up the privilege to eat of the tree of life in the paradise of God. Folks, don't miss it. When you don't partake of the tree of life, you don't live. Hearing is the basis for that. We fail to receive a crown of life. Despite the suffering, the hardship, and the death that the early church went through, that the apostles all went through, that Jesus went through, when our hearing is not focused and concentrating on the Word of God, the wisdom of God, intelligently understanding, applying it into our lives and telling others, we don't receive the crown of life. And we're hurt in the second death by eternal sentencing. You know, the Apostle Paul made a wonderful pledge to those that will hear in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In verses 1 through 8, he told Timothy, his son in the faith, that henceforth, verse 8, there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me, and not for me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Hearing is paramount to receiving a crown of life. We can't downplay, we can't undervalue what it means to receive the hidden manna, to receive the new name. We just can't downplay those, because Revelation 2 verse 17 links them to how we hear what God has said in his word. And so, please, please, may we be careful how we hear. Many other things we could lose. We could lose the opportunity to have the clean, fresh garments that God has provided. And we can lose the ability to sit with Christ in his throne. There's a lot of things we can give up by not hearing. But I want you to understand that God has made hearing such a precious commodity that the Bible would say and record for us that those disciples of the early church, those that heard the word of God, and those that were of the Old Testament, they had a desire to hear those things that we hear, to see those things that we see, and yet they could not. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 13, "Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing hear not, neither do they understand." The principal truth that God has given us is, listen attentively. And we hear, and we with our hearing comes understanding. And with understanding comes doing. That's the process God has given to us. What happens when we don't hear? Our minds wax gross. In other words, our minds focus on all the other noise that this world has to offer. All the things that people have attached so many promises to that only last for that long. And then they're tarnished and they fade. Whether it be wealth, whether it be fame, whether it be any of those kinds of things, popularity, all of those kinds of things. They're not lasting, they're fading. Fading. And we could spend so much time chasing to our detriment. Hearing the principles that only apply to the earth. And missing the principles that apply to eternity. When we talk about what can be lost, when we lose our hearing, our heart or our mind wax gross. Our ears become so dull that what happens? We close our eyes. We close our eyes. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 13, 15. And then he turned around in the very next verse and said, "But blessed are ye, happy are ye, supremely blessed are you. Especially are your eyes and your ears." Why? How? Because you hear. Because you hear. The word of God means so much to you. Matthew 13 and verse 17 is one of the last verses we'll mention in our study today. Jesus was talking to the disciples in that day and time, and he made a statement. In verse 17, after Jesus explained why the apostles should be so happy and so blessed, and how they had so many things in their favor in hearing the divine word of God, his next statement was, "Verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see." Do we appreciate what we see in the picture of God's word? Do we appreciate what we see in each other as members of the Lord's precious blood-bought church? There were folks that wanted to see him, folks, and couldn't. There were folks that gave their lives to see them and couldn't. How important is it to us to see those things? But not just the things we see. There were those that wanted and desired to see those things which we see and have not seen them. And to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Sometimes we just get so distracted and so busy in this life that, folks, we forget to hear the most precious gift that exists to humankind. In Matthew 17 and 5, God would send a message from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear ye him. The heavens cried that out. How important is that message to us today? Hearing is something that becomes such an automatic response that we don't think about sometimes how we don't utilize it. We don't think sometimes about how deficient we can be in not wanting to hear something that we need to hear. Don't be deceived. God made it plain. Their hearing would cause many, many sad things. When we look in John 5:25, hearing was such an important principle that Jesus would say, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." It's an amazing thing. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now there's a couple things going on in this particular passage. It's amazing when we think of the folks that will be listening that we just don't think are listening. What God has given us is the word of his dear Son, where we can utilize it in our everyday lives, in contact with the people we work with, the people we meet, the people we're around, to convey to them. So many of them that don't know the gospel, haven't heard the gospel, and yet are struggling and fighting with ways to overcome the hardships of life, the difficulties and the challenges that sickness, death, and everything else can bring on. And the only way they can get from death to life is you and me hearing and telling others the way of truth that we've heard. The point is this, and Jesus made it clear. When the dead can hear the voice of the Son of God, they can come to life. But that also happens in the resurrection also, doesn't it? In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, then we which are alive and remain, when Jesus comes forth, can meet him together in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord, if we're listening, if we hear. We'll close the lesson with John 16:13. When we talk about the Spirit of truth coming, the Word of God being confirmed, and the Word of God being taught, may we never, ever forget that's what facilitates our understanding. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. We have the picture of things to come. We have the past, present, and future in God's word, the scriptures. We can tell it to the souls that are lost, that are dying, that are in need of encouragement, rebuke, and yes, too, praise for standing, hearing, and teaching others the Word of God. In old times, every soul that did not hear was destroyed. How do we think it's going to be in the church when Jesus comes back? Every soul that will not hear, what do you think will happen? In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it says things written aforetime are written for our learning. Through comfort and patience of the scriptures we find out over. We know what's going to happen. Jesus already told us. Already told us. What will we do with the tools we have? If you're hearing the word of God and you've never obeyed it, the Bible teaches a simple plan that God requires. We must hear the word of God. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Mark 12, 29. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. That's the first step. After we've heard the word, we have to believe it. Again, hearing intelligently requires us to believe it. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. That diligently. Don't miss it, folks. The word hearing, the Hebrew definition and the Greek, encompasses diligence. It's not the last thing we get to in the day. It's the first thing. If we can raise our heads up and see the sun in the sky, we ought to know we didn't put it there. Every day, we didn't put it there. It's God. We've got to believe. We've got to diligently. After we learn and believe His word, we must drink. In Luke chapter 13, verse 3, Jesus is speaking to the group of people there, and He says, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's a pretty clear statement. If you won't change, you will perish. But you know, the Lord wanted it even clearer than that for us. In verse 5, He said the exact same thing again. I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. If Jesus thought it was serious enough to repeat to us, you know what He meant? Something about the way human beings hear. I've raised 3 children. I have 8 grandchildren. I noticed how folks hear. And I dare tell you that there's been a time or two when I've had to say something more than once. When I'm dealing with younger children of mine or grandchildren, I try not to do that very much. Because I want them to get it the first time. I want them to hear. Folks, God wants us to get it. He wants us to hear. And so He asks us to repent and then confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. No greater confession can human lips make than that. He is indeed the Son of God. In Matthew 10:32, Jesus Himself would say it like this. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will also deny before my Father. Which is in heaven. 32 and 33 of Matthew chapter 5. That's the way Jesus explained it. Is there anybody who believes that Jesus didn't know what He was talking about? I don't think so. People may try to act like they don't believe it, but they don't. It's been proven by history, the Bible, all sorts of ways. After we've confessed Him, after we've heard His word, believed it, repented, and confessed, we must be baptized. There's so many different discussions in this life today by religious people about whether you need to be baptized or not to be saved. The Bible ends that when we hear what is written. In Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, He says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Therefore, we're buried with Christ by baptism into Him.
that like as Christ was raised up by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. New life, if we hear intelligently, we realize new life starts with coming up out of the water and grave of baptism. Then, after that, we must live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Titus 2:11 and 12 tells us. What does that mean? The word soberly there simply means in a manner to save our mind. We've got to hone and fine-tune our hearing. If our hearing's right, our minds see it. When our minds are right, we seek those things that are celestial, not terrestrial. We're not looking for the success of the earth to carry us through this life. We're looking for the one who's in control of all things, Almighty God. We don't know the mind of those that are here this morning. We hope that something we've said might cause you to further think, to further ponder on the tools that God has given us, one of the most important things being how we hear. If there's any of that, if you sin and come short of the glory of God, the Bible simply teaches us that we must confess our faults one to another, pray one for another, effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5:16. In Galatians 6:1, brethren, ye that are overtaken in a fault, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. In the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. We have a loving Savior and God who offers the invitation. At this time, we don't know the minds of those that are here, but if we can assist any person in the audience, we ask you to come while we stand.